All right, verse 44. Y'all ready? And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to the other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, all the nations, all the Gentile nations, and it shall stand, how long?
Forever.
God had promised Israel a kingdom. And so their whole prophecy is about a kingdom. And it has to deal with that issue of the kingdom. And people can get all bent out of shape and anything they want, but their realization is God is pretty clear in His Bible what the intent is. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. If you can't find Matthew, you're not been in the Word much. Go to Matthew chapter 6. The whole thing is about a kingdom. Matthew 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? In earth. This kingdom is going to be set up on the planet earth. It's an earthly kingdom, as it is in heaven. There is going to be a rule of the Lord here on earth. That's very, very clear. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 7. I mean, just take the notes. Believe your Bible. Get in the Word of God. Check it out. Score it. Highlight it. And then go back and study it. Watch this. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 7. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven? Well, that's exactly the kingdom we're talking about. And that is the good news. The kingdom of heaven is at what? Well, that's not good news to me. I'm not looking for a kingdom. You know, so you've got this situation. Well, just as the prophecy deals with the kingdom, the mystery deals with the body. Can you zoom in and get that and make sure you pull that in where they can see that on the internet? You got it? I'm just kidding. All right. It concerns with a body. Two different programs, two different things. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're dividing the scriptures. One program is for prophecy, the other one's for mystery. And when you mix them all up, you're confusing the two programs that God had. I mean, why would He call the Apostle Paul? He already had 12 men that could effectively do anything. If it's the same exact program as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, why Paul? You know, I mean, he certainly didn't fit Matthias's position. He wasn't there when from the beginning of John the Baptist until Jesus went up from among them. He wasn't qualified in that position to do that. Paul is unique. Why? He's involved in a mystery. And he's involved in a body. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into what? One body. See, Paul is talking about a body and about the church, the body of Christ. Look, if you will, in verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. He didn't ever, you know, it's funny because Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Not one time, listen to me, not one single time did he talk about you and a kingdom. Now in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it talked about Gentiles in the kingdom, didn't it? What did they have to do? Find a Jew and bless them. I mean, it's very clear. But in Romans through Philemon, 13 books, half the New Testament, God Almighty saw fit not to have Paul mention the kingdom, basically zero. That's odd. Say, well, it's all about a body, it's about a mystery, it's about the truth of the Word of God. Rightly divided, you've got to know what portion we're concerned today with what we call body truth. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I appreciate you joining us. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the what? The body of Christ, the church. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 1, I believe it is. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him the head, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. He's not talking about a kingdom. Paul's not talking about an earthly kingdom. In fact, look where this, this body's gonna go. Far above, verse 21, far above all principalities and power. You know, this is about a This body is leaving planet Earth. Look, if you will, definitely set up for this kingdom is going to be on Earth. Look in Jeremiah 23. Look in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Write down the passages. Jeremiah 23. And look, if you will, in verse 5. This is under the kingdom message. This is under Peter's regime. This is under the 12. This is what they would teach. Folks, listen, you can't teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to the church today. You're going to confuse them. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice where? In the earth. God is setting up this kingdom, and where is this kingdom going to be? On the earth. That brings me to that thought about John chapter 11, I believe it is. John 11, Lazarus is resurrected. Now think about this. Lazarus is resurrected. You know what? He doesn't freak out. Listen, he doesn't freak out that he was on earth when he came back. He didn't freak out and say, what, I'm not in heaven? He knew that the kingdom was going to be set up on earth. Why would he expect something different? Y'all understand? I mean, you got to think of the mentality there. You got to think about all that's going on at the time. The realization is this, here comes Lazarus out of the grave, and he doesn't freak out that he's not in heaven. Because you know why? That kingdom was promised here on earth. And the resurrection for Ezekiel 37, when them dry bones come together, is going to be here on earth. They were anticipating that. They were expecting that. But you know what? The body isn't about this place. It's about being what? far above heaven. It's the third heaven. The hope for the body isn't this earth. The hope for the body is far above all heavens. It's not the same program. It's a different program. Look, if you will, in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, blessed be the God, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In heavenly places. We're not looking for an earthly kingdom. I would put where we just read as a comparison of Jeremiah 23, verse 5 in my Bible right there. They're not the same. One hope is in heaven, the other is an established kingdom here on earth. Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. Yeah. You mean where the rapture is? Yeah. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in where? Heavenly places in Christ. Hey, you know what? Listen, I'm already there. Amen. He didn't say was going to make us sit. He said hath made us. It's already done. We're waiting for the redemption of our vile body. We're waiting for this vile body to change so that we can join that which we are in heaven. Look, if you will, in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, look, if you will, in verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Well, that's not what Israel was told. They were told to set their affections on that kingdom. In fact, if you'll look at Peter's attitude, the last question he gets to ask the Lord Jesus Christ is in Acts chapter 1. Look in Acts chapter 1. He's not worried about going to heaven. He's not worried about this or that. He's worried about a kingdom. Look in Acts chapter 1. And look, if you will, in verse 6. The last question. You know, this is probably the most important question in the Bible for those. This is the last time they get to see the Lord. They didn't say, hey, are you going to bring salvation to the world? Did they do this? No. This is the question they ask. Verse 6. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see that? What was Peter concerned about? A kingdom. You know why? Because these people are going to be a kingdom of priests. You're going to see that in just a minute. I mean, this is just fascinating stuff when you start to really dive in and get into this stuff. Why? Because the whole Bible isn't saying the same thing. Hey, part of it's kingdom truth, part of it's body truth. And if you don't rightly divide and you get the wrong truth for the wrong thing, you might end up in hell, listen to me, believing the Bible. That's wild. Yeah, but I believe the Bible. Yeah, but you believe the wrong part. God didn't send Peter to you. He sent Peter and the 11 to the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent Paul to the church, the body of Christ, and we are members in particular. Huh? They're a different doctrine, no doubt. Our hope is far above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Wow. over here, under the kingdom message, Jesus Christ will be their king. That's what he's going to be. Look in Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah. Let me make sure. Yeah, Isaiah. Isaiah 9. He's going to be the king and he's going to sit upon the throne of David. Verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the us is who? Israel. It wasn't given to the world, and that matches Isaiah, Luke chapter 1, verse 69, where he says, he has raised unto Israel a Savior, a horn of salvation. He says, for the government shall be upon his shoulders, and look who he is. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be what? No end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Now, there is going to be a king that is going to sit on that throne. Amen? There's no doubt to my mind. I don't know if this is a good reference. I'm going to pick it up and see if it is. It came into my mind, so I'm going to check it out. Give me a second here. Well, it has to do with the 12 apostles. But go to Matthew 19, talking about thrones. Look where they're going to be, and they're going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, and they were asking him, Well, man, we've forsaken all, what are we going to get? In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, that's it. He's going to sit in the throne of his glory. Ye shall also sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus Christ is going to sit upon that throne as the King of Kings and rule with a rod of iron and on and on. But that's not true of the church. Over here he's a king. Over here he's the head of the church. That's different. One over here is a kingdom established here on earth, a body on earth, far above all heavens. King, head. These are two different programs with two different outcomes, two different necessary. And you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. The realization is that when you start to get this thing down, you start to realize that Paul is a very unique person in this Bible, and you understand why Paul wrote half the New Testament. Look in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians. He's the head. Let me get there. Ephesians. Verse 19. Ephesians 1, verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the, not king, head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Look, if you will, in Colossians chapter 1, and look what it says in verse 18. Now, there are lots of other verses. I'm just giving you some, and I wish I could just, you know, rattle them all off. But unfortunately, if we did that, it would take weeks and weeks to get through the single message. There are so many. But in Colossians chapter 1, y'all there? And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church. You see that? Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Where to Israel, they're what? They're the king. For us, He's the head. For Israel, He's a king. That's totally different. Totally different. Totally different. Not only that, where this information came from is kind of unique, actually, in my own thought. Over here, the kingdom is this has been since the world began. Watch this. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Start in, it's all good. I'm just going to start in 67, and really what I want down is about 70. But nevertheless, it won't matter. We can read down. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. That would be Israel. You might want to note that in your Bible, that his people would be Israel. And you might want to put John chapter 1, verse 11 there, and Matthew chapter 10, verse 6 in your Bible, right there. And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And I'd probably put Zechariah 13, verse 1, if I was a real Bible student, right there. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which has been since the world began. When was this starting to be talked of? Since the world began. Look in Acts chapter 3. Go to Acts chapter 3. These are not the same. Things that are different aren't the same. Verse 19. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. I would put Zechariah 13, verse 1 there too. And Romans 11, verse 25 through 27. I'd put that in my Bible if I was you. Did you get that? Romans 11, verse 25 through 27. I would definitely put that in my Bible. Yes, ma'am. You got a question or something. You just look that way all the time? You are starting to become quite the Bible student, aren't you? Well, now watch. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, when? Since the world began. The kingdom program has been announced when? Since the world began. But you know what's fascinating? Over here, this program was before. Now, that's fascinating to me. If they're the same program, shouldn't this one have been for before as well? Or if they're this one the same as this one since? But God uniquely showed us that there's a difference between the prophecy and mystery program, and he's laying this thing out so that you can't make a mistake. There is no way that you can make a mistake if you believe your Bible. The problem is we've been in churches that have hung us up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we never heard the mystery. Once the mystery is revealed, guess what? It's like, aha! You know, aha! I got it. Because there are two programs running. One for Israel that's under the prophetic program and one for the church, the body of Christ, under a mystery program. Before the world began, look if you will in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, Bill Brown, I'm glad you're here, brother. This is good stuff, even if I am doing it myself. Man, this is what it's all out. I was up in Kentucky, and I'll tell you a little bit about that one at the second message, but 8 people got saved. And amen. It was. I've never seen that many people get saved, and they stood up and testified, brother, I mean, with tears in their eyes, and their shackles were gone. And they praise the Lord. There ain't nothing better than seeing someone get saved. Amen? I mean, they nothing like it. Then they finally give up. It's amazing. And I thought about how precious this truth is. It is the only truth that can give you eternal life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they never had the peace. Always doubting. They had to endure unto the end to get in that kingdom. What happens if they didn't? Well, you know, and this truth is so precious, it's unbelievable. Look at this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, y'all there? Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. I mean, I want you to think about this for a minute. Even before the world began, God had a plan for your salvation. He had it all worked out even before he spoke the world into existence. People don't understand that. That's the most amazing thing. I get overwhelmed by it. People act like, you know, that all this is one deal. Well, if it is, he's going through an awful lot of comparisons to prove that it isn't. God is. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2. My pages are sticking together. I shouldn't have eaten that biscuit with jelly. Well, no, they're not jelly. They got jelly on them now. Ephesians 2. That's not the right reference I want. Well, go to the next one. Sorry about that. Bad reference. Galatians chapter 3. Sometimes that happens. Well, I don't know what that does either. I'm sorry. Those are two bad references. Well, that jelly sure probably went right to my head, don't you think? Who knows? Let's go to the next one. We did have 2 Timothy 1:9, right? There's two other references. For some reason I had them in here wrong. Israel, in the kingdom, Israel is in the, over the nations. Israel, under the prophecy, is over the nations. They're the head. The nations are their servants. Might want to put that. Gentile nations. So Israel is over the nations under the prophecy program. Look, if you will, in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Verse 10. And the sons of strangers shall build thy walls. Who do you think the sons of strangers are? Gentiles. And their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, and they shall not be shut day or night, that the men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, that their kings may be brought on and on. They're going to rule over. Look, if you will, in Isaiah 61. Look, if you will, in Isaiah 61. I want to go to Isaiah 60 first, verse 1. He says, arise and shine, for thy light is come. Whose light? Israel's. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And behold, the darkness shall cover the peace, cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Who's thee? Israel. And his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy what? God had planned that all the world would be saved through Israel's what? Rise. They're going to rule over the nations. Look, if you will, let me see one other reference I have. I don't know that I need it, but let me look here real quick. Is it in? Oh, thank you. They told me where the two other befores were. I couldn't think. Go to Isaiah 61. Verse 4. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste city and the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flock. Guess who that is? And your sons, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, and on and on. He goes verse 6. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall be your boast. Shall ye boast yourselves? On and on. Man, they're going to rule over Israel. But you know what? In the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 10. Over here, a huge difference. Israel's the head, Gentiles. Over here, Jews and Gentile are, let's do it this way. Jews and Gentile are equal. Over here, not true. Over here, there's no head or no, there is no preference to Jews or Gentiles. It's just whosoever. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. That was actually my next point. I just don't want to rush it because you can kind of mix them as you go, but that's exactly right. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Now, during the time of the body truth, there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. Well, is there? No. For the same Lord over all is rich on all that call upon Him. Whosoever shall call upon his, on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that wasn't true before. Look in Romans chapter 11, verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, Jew and what? That He might have mercy upon all. Well, there you go. Look, if you will, in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Was that true in the kingdom message? No. No, it's not the same. Guys, our time has come to an end, and I'm not done. Shall we just stop here and continue what we're doing in the next hour?